believe if you're seeking for clarity, you can receive it by faith today. Jesus Christ. There's a new move of God coming in this new year. A new move of God coming in this new year. And we can either be spectators and watch it, or we can be participators and be a part of it. I, for one, want to be a participator. And with every new move of God comes a new mindset for us to participate in it. Everybody know what I'm talking about? Anyone here ever been in a move of God, a legitimate move of Holy Spirit, where He's actually changed the spiritual landscape of your life? I've seen two moves. I'm a product of the Charismatic Renewal Movement and also participated in the River Movement in the mid-90s. And there were incredible, incredible moves of God that changed the spiritual landscape in many people's lives. And what we're coming into is going to eclipse everything that's happened in the past. I truly believe this. What the Lord's allowed me to see is incredible. And I'm not here to tell you about that. I'm just here to tell you to get prepared because it's coming. And part of the preparation is what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about God's will for your life. And I'm going to start by reading in Ephesians chapter 3. And it's going to start at verse 14 through 21. And I'm going to be reading from the New King James. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. Everybody point, right here. Right here. Strengthened with might by His Spirit in your inner man. Anybody need that? Glory to God. This is His will for you. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think, to Him be the glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Glory to God. The prayers in the new covenant are God's will for you. And that's just one of those prayers in Ephesians. How many want to be strengthened by might in your inner man? Amen. I need that more and more in my life. You know, ever since I've been a believer, there's been this elusive quest by many people in the body of Christ for the will of God for their lives. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Maybe some of you were like that, just like I was. Lord, I need to know Your will. This seems to be all throughout the body of Christ. Many believers have been bored and or dissatisfied with their present condition. Others have been deluded by our enemy, the enemy of our soul, into looking at some idealistic situation that they think ought to be theirs. It's not in the Word of God, but they have thought. And all that does is create an unmet expectation. That brings disappointment, disillusionment to the body of Christ. And many believers have been disillusioned seeking the will of God because of idealism. Many people have had a quest to find that perfect church with perfect unity, having a perfect career with all the benefits, that perfect wife or husband. The only person I know with that is my wife. Glory to God. To, you know, something or someone to complete and fulfill their life. And it goes on and on and on. And often this quest for the will of God is more about what we want than what God has for us. Amen? How many believe that God's will for your life is His Word? It's exactly what it is. How many believe that it can be your will, the will for your life can be found in His Word? He's not hiding His will from you. I want you to understand that. He's not hiding His will from you. It's just not out of reach where you just can't jump high enough to grab it. He's not doing that. That would be cruel. He's not cruel. He's love. God is love. He just doesn't have love or is loving. He is love. And that's going to change right there. That's going to change many of our mentality for this new move of God, because it's this new move of God coming in this new year is about the fiery love of God being released in believers' lives. That fiery love, by another word, is called compassion. Committed passion. That flame of fire that will destroy the works of the devil and demonstrate His love like nothing can. Because He is love. And His will is for us to know that love. Know it not as a fact, but as an experience. See, His will comes down to this. I'll give you a little hint. Union. He wants to live His life in you and through you. Where there's no separation. No separation. There's nothing but utter trust in Him. And when you trust someone, you make yourself vulnerable to them. You have confidence in them. You've committed your entire being to them. That's His will for you today, to do just that. Jeremiah 29:11. Many of you know this. You've got that on your refrigerator. You've got it on the wall. For I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to bring you a future and a hope, to bring you to an expected end. Well, it's His expected end. It's not our expected end, because we don't expect enough. What He expects us to have is way more than what we realize He wants to give. So it's His expected end that He wants to bring us to. What He's saying in Jeremiah 29:11 is that He is thinking about you all the time. He has a relentless quest to demonstrate love to you. So much so that in His wallet, He's got your picture. He's got your picture on His refrigerator. He's looking to ways to bless you and promote you. That's who He is. He's in the promotion business. He's in the blessing business. He's in the releasing of favor, demonstrating His love. That's who God is. God is not that judgmental, angry God that the spirit of religion wants you to believe that some of us were brought up in. He's not standing over you with a club, "You better keep my commandments or I'm going to crush your head." No, that's not who He is. Not at all. He's love. And if you had any idea how much He loves you, it would blow your mind. And how much He wants His will to be operating in your life. That's what I want to tell you today. But first of all, I think to discover the will of God for you, we have to know what it is not. First of all, the will of God is not about position. It's not about people. It's not about property. His will is not any tangible element that we can see with our natural eyes. Those are ancillary. They're in addition to what His will is. They come to us because we're walking in His will. They aren't His will altogether. Does everybody understand what I'm talking about? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18 says, "While we do not look at the things which can be seen, but at the things which cannot be seen. For the things that can be seen are temporary." It's the things that cannot be seen that are eternal. So, too many of us live at what I call sea level. S-E-E level. And we believe everything that comes into our five natural senses. That's, by any other term, is called the carnal mind. And when we enter the carnal mind, we enter into a dangerous area. Because the carnal mind, Paul said in Romans 8, is at enmity with God. It is in bitter opposition to the things of God. So this thing has to be renewed. And that's part of the will of God as well. But what we have to understand is that the things of God are eternal. They're not temporary. As a matter of fact, when we start to deal in temporary things, we deal in the things that are illusions. Because if it's temporary, it's going to be changing. And anything you can see with your natural eyes, even looking in the mirror in the morning, is changing. It's temporary. Guess who's in charge of the temporary world? What are two of the names of Satan? Prince of the power of the air and ruler of this world. So, let's just take a survey of our lives, individual lives. We can do it very quickly. Mine can be very quick. But we can see that most of the trouble that we got in was because we were viewing things from sea level. And what the accuser of the brethren does, what Satan does, the separator, the divider, what the devil does, the one who discourages, the one who accuses and slanders, what he does is that he's in charge of the temporary realm, and he dances situations around. He's the master illusionist. And he keeps us in a state, a constant state of crisis management. Ask any pastor. Pastors spend 90% of their time dealing with temporary things in people's lives. And what Satan does will keep you in a constant state of crisis management. One crisis after another to keep you from focusing where you need to focus, into the spirit realm. Amen? Because, once again, everything you see down here is temporary. And Satan's dancing all those things around and has you spend all your time dealing with temporary things. When we have been called to be made alive together, to be raised up together, to be seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. John the Revelator said in Revelation 4:1, he said, come up here. You come up here. Don't ask me to come down there into your mess. It's temporary. You come up here and you see the way things should be from the eternal realm. Let me show you what the will of God is. Because I'm going to give you vision. Not just eyesight, I'm going to give you vision. But you have to be raised up together, seated together. You have to have a whole new perspective of life. And with vision, you can see into the eternal realm of God the way things have the potential of being. We need vision. We know in Proverbs it says, for without a vision, people... Can you see why? The New King James says, without a revelation, people go without restraint. I'm an old farm boy. We used to raise chickens. And my grandmother would say, hey, anybody want fried chicken tonight? And she'd go out and grab two or three chickens, and she'd walk their heads off and hang them on the clothesline. And they drip blood. You know how that is. And every once in a while, those chickens are still flopping, and they flop down. And I was just a little scamp. They'd chase me around with no heads. Tight circles, I'm telling you right now. And that's the way the church is without a vision. That's the way your life is, like a chicken with its head cut off, with no vision, running in tight circles. Well, praise God, that's what we have to have. We have to have that vision. Without that vision of the eternal realm where the will of God for us lies, the enemy has usurped our future. We've turned it over to him. And he's in charge of our future. And it just becomes one mess after another mess. All you got to do is look back at your own life and see that I'm telling you the truth. So if you want to change that situation, then you need to be seated in Christ. You need to have that vision. And all you have to do is ask Him, Father, I need a vision. Guess what? He'll give you a dream. He'll give you a vision. He'll show you what you need to see. He'll bring clarity into your life. He'll clean things up. He'll clarify your life. He'll even take, listen, when you're seated up here, you can even go, you can look forward or you can look back and see where you took the wrong trail. But I suggest we look forward. Amen? Glory to God. You can't figure out God's will with his carnal mind. That will certainly lead you to an unmet expectation. Proverbs 26 and 2 says, like a flying swallow, like a flitting sparrow, the curse without cause cannot alight. What that means is that for the enemy to come into your life, for the enemy to come into your life, there has to be an open door. And unmet expectations that come from idealism and the carnal mind are an open door for Satan to come in and mess you up. Mess you up. So we want to keep all those doors closed. Amen? 2 Corinthians 3:18. This is another way of saying what I've just said. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into that same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We're going from glory to glory with an unveiled face. What we have to do is remove the veils that the enemy has put on our face. What does a veil do? It will distort your image of who he is and who you are in him. How many know that rejection will distort your image of God? Self-rejection, self-hatred. You've been told things when you were a child that have just stuck there, and you believed that lie. And that distorts the image of who God is and who you are in him. And instead of going from glory to glory, you go from one mess to a deeper mess. So much so that you're in a perpetual state of depression right now. That chain can be broken. Oh, we sang about it earlier. It needs to be broken. It has to be broken. How many know the spirit of fear can be put a veil over your face? Anger, rage, those are veils. Even disappointment that leads to discouragement, that leads to despair. That's a veil there. You can't understand who God is, that he is love, and you can't understand that he wants to come live in you and bring his very character into you. The will of God. I'm talking about the will of God for us, for you. So, I've talked about a little bit about what it's not. Let's talk about what it is. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 19. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. I mean, you know, that's true. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. There it is. What is the will of the Lord? We're going to get it right now. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. That's the secret. Be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Listen, when you are filled, truly filled with the Spirit, there's a joyousness. There's a rejoicing that just happens within us. When we know His love, that He is rejoicing over us, we can't do anything but rejoice back. This word, this phrase, being filled with the Spirit, there's a tense that is an ongoing tense. In this tense, this phrase, being filled with the Spirit, is being continually filled with the Spirit. In other words, get under the spout when the glory comes out and just keep drinking. Just keep getting filled to overflowing on a continual basis. That's what that means. Hallelujah. How many know we need that? God's will for you is to be filled with Holy Spirit. Well, you might say, well, you know, I'm saved. Isn't that enough? Well, brother, that's good. But there's another step you can take. There's much more than just being saved, having a future home in heaven. You know, salvation, there's three aspects of salvation. Number one is the justification. That happens in our spirit man. We have been justified through faith in Jesus Christ. And yes, you're right, we have a future home in heaven. And then that happens in our spirit man. Then there's this aspect called sanctification. And guess what that involves? It involves this thing right here. It's getting this thing renewed. And to get this renewed, there's some things that have to be done. How many know 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 6? For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to what? The pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and punishing every disobedience until your obedience is fulfilled. We can't keep a bird from flying over our head, but we can sure keep that rascal from making a nest in our hair. And this thing has to be renewed. And the way you renew it is pull down those old strongholds. And if you want to know what those strongholds are, go to Deuteronomy chapter 7 and look at the meanings behind the names of the seven nations that occupied the promised land of Israel that they were going to utterly destroy. And you'll find strongholds there. And those strongholds aren't for those in the world, they're for those in the church. One of the ones that crops up right now in this time of the season is that Jebusite stronghold of depression. I see that a lot this time of the year. And by the way, the third part of your salvation is the glorification, when we exchange this old thing for the glorified body, just like Jesus. So there's a threefold salvation: justification, sanctification, and glorification. God doesn't leave anything out. Praise God. But just being saved, and that's awesome to have that knowing your sins are forgiven. But let me tell you, I'm not one who frequents five-star restaurants, but I've been to a couple. And, you know, you go in, normally there's a line. Or how many ever been on a cruise? And they have that, that's a five-star meal right there. It's unreal. But you wait in line, you know, until your time comes, and they might even give you a menu of what's there, and you're looking at that menu and say, whoa, look at this stuff. And there might even be a few breadsticks while you're in line to kind of curb your appetite. And you get up there, and you're saved. Glory to God. You've got a reservation. But you decide, well, you know, we've seen the menu. It looks awfully good, but we're going to go back to our cabin without going in to enjoy the meal. You know, it says in John chapter 10, verse 7 and verse 9, it says, Jesus Christ says, I am the door. I am the door of the sheep. In John 14, 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How many know Jesus is the doorway? How many of you would appreciate a realtor that you want to buy a house, and they take you up on the front porch and they say, okay, Mr. and Mrs. Urban, here is the door, the front door. Look at that paneling, how beautiful it is. This is how that door works. Whew. Now let's buy the house. How many of you would buy the house? Well, Jesus Christ is the doorway. But Holy Spirit is inside. Woo-hoo! The kingdom is inside. If you want to sell the house, take them into the kingdom. Take them into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Take them into the fullness of the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in Holy Spirit, or the present day activity of Holy Spirit in you. It is complete union in God, where the Father and the Son come into you, your life, through Holy Spirit. That's what we have to offer. That's the will of God for you. That's being filled with the Spirit. Amen? What happens when you're filled with the Spirit? What happens in this will of God? First of all, you get the very ability of Jesus Christ through Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11, it talks about every one of those manifestations of Holy Spirit. We break these down, we teach on these, we hold workshops on these. Interactive workshops where you get to participate. But there's revelation gifts, there's speaking gifts, and there's power gifts. Revelation gifts are words of knowledge, words of wisdom, and discernment of spirits. How many know we need discernment of spirits in this day as well, you know, probably more than any other time? Words of knowledge are what is going on right now or have gone on in the past through a supernatural ability of Holy Spirit to reveal that to you. Words of wisdom is what's going to happen in the future. Discernment of spirits is what spirit is that activity behind that activity or that person. What's going on there? Speaking gifts or tongues, the ability to speak in a heavenly language, the interpretation of those tongues, and prophecy. And finally, the power gifts of Holy Spirit is that supernatural gift of faith that Holy Spirit just drops in you for the gifts of healings and the working of miracles. Power gifts. The very ability of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said in 14:12, he who believes in me, the works I do, he will do also, and greater works than these shall you do because I go to the Father. Amen? Well, he's at the Father right now. Are you a believer in Jesus? That's what you have. The ability to do those greater works through the power of Holy Spirit. Not only that, but you have the very character of Jesus Christ come into you through Holy Spirit, called the fruit of Holy Spirit. Nine gifts, nine fruit. And in that fruit, he talks about love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, long-suffering, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Fruit and gifts. Ability and character. Jesus. Once again, the process of renewing the mind comes into this. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul told the Roman church, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That living sacrifice, Paul was referring all the way back to the tabernacle in the wilderness where they had a whole burnt offering every morning and every evening. He said, that's me, and that's you. We're presenting our bodies as that living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Don't be pushed in a mold that the world wants you in, but be transformed through the renewing of your mind that you may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Again, it takes a renewed mind to prove the will of God. Amen? You see, what Holy Spirit brings to us, Peter said it this way. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. He said, grace, oh, what's grace mean? Grace, that's that intangible force that's pushing you, that always means good to you, that's always a relentless force that he's taking you into your destiny, that he is moving with every resource of heaven to bring you to the will of God in your life, to that very position, that expected end that he talks about. And that's what he's doing to you on a constant, relentless basis, that his love is following you, that goodness and mercy, those sheepdogs of his love are right on your heels to knock you over and just lick all over you. He is after you with an intensity. That's his grace. That's his grace. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. As his divine power, everybody say Holy Spirit, has given us just a few things. How many things? All things that pertain to life and godliness. He's already done it. He's already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of Him who has called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises. Those covenant promises. That by these, now listen, this will blow your circuits. That by these promises, you may be a partaker of the divine nature. A new creation in Christ Jesus. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through love. That's the will of God for you. You say, well, you know, I'm looking at my life and I don't see that I have everything that I need for this life. Brother, you might be looking for a mature oak tree. You're looking in your spirit and say, I don't see it. All I see is a little acorn. Guess what the oak tree's in? It's in the acorn. You got it. Now it just needs the water of Holy Spirit. It needs a S-O-N shine in order for that thing to bloom in your life. This Christian walk isn't a sprint, it's a journey. So is your sanctification. It's a journey. And Jesus is there. Holy Spirit is there to help you along the way. He's not there to chastise you. He's not there to punish you. Get this in your spirits. Get this to renew your mind. He's not there to condemn you. That's what the enemy does. He's there to encourage you. To love you through life and the life's challenges. And in that process, He's transforming us more and more into His image. That's His will. That's the will of God for you. He's not this angry God, angry at you. No. He's there to help you. He's there to aid you. He's there to guide you. He's there for the very purpose of extending and relentlessly pushing His love on you in favor. That's the God I serve. And the God you serve. Who now lives in you. And lives in me by His Spirit. That's what makes this season so majestic. The incarnation. Have you ever thought about the love of God through the incarnation? That God from God came into this world as a baby. Just the season we're in. Many of us have been through this so many times it seemingly has become trite. But when I think about the very love of God, let's just go to John 3:16. You know what's an equation? For God so loved the world. Guess who the world is? Us. That He gave His only begotten Son. That is an equals statement, okay? I'm talking about an equation now. You know, just because you didn't pass math in third grade, just stay with me. He gave His only begotten Son. That, whosoever, believe on Him, would not perish but would have everlasting life. There's an equation. He gave His only begotten Son equals you. And me. Just you. Just you. He gave His only Son that equaled just salvation for you, forgiveness for you, healing for you, deliverance for you. That's the love of God. That's the equation that we're living in. He's invaded our corruption. He's invaded this life of helplessness and hopelessness. He came as a baby. He lived a sinless life. He became the sacrifice for sin. He became... Oh. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He, the Father, made Him, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to become sin for us. Can you get that? He became sin that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. If he became sin and he went to the grave and he arose, sin still is in the grave. That means there's no longer a sin issue for those of us in him. Because when he arose from the dead, we arose in him. Our sin was left behind. Religion, the spirit of religion, wants to keep you going back and picking that sin up and then having to repent of it. No, it's dead from you. It went to the grave. There it stayed. It's a limb. There's no, listen, that means we don't any longer have to have a sin mindset. Well, Brother Wade, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. That's a red button right here. You push that thing and Wade gets angry. Because you're no longer a sinner. That thing was taken to the grave. Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 to 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. As it is written, curses everyone that hangs on the tree. Why? That the blessings of Abraham might come unto the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. How many of you know the old covenant was more like a contract? And in a contract, you have benefits for keeping the rules of that contract and then penalties for disobeying, for not keeping. Those are called curses. They're called blessings and curses. Jesus Christ became the curse. Can somebody say, no more curse? Woo! No more curse, no more sin. That's what he did for you. That's what he did for me. That's what love has done for us. I don't know, but I feel like running. Glory to God. I don't know if my knees can stand it, but I feel like running. This is so incredible. And this is what we have just to receive. You say, well, what do I have to do? Man, do I have to do a handstand? Do I have to do a flip? No. All you have to do is hold your hands out and say, thank you, Jesus. I receive everything you have to offer today. I receive forgiveness once and for all. I'm not dragging that thing up again. I'm not digging that mess up. I'm not allowing Satan to condemn me anymore and bring guilt in my life. That's over. That's done with. I'm not going to suffer the curse anymore. That curse of poverty in my life. I'm not. No, no, no. I'm not. Oh, he became that. And I'm receiving blessings right now. I'm receiving your fullness. I'm receiving your love. As a matter of fact, I'm allowing you to impart that into my spirit. So that I'm becoming that partaker of the divine nature. Right here and right now. Whew. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you that you extend your goodness. You want to do nothing but love us. I want you to know what the will of God is for your life. And that's to be filled with His Spirit. That's to take Him into your life where there's no separation. Where love is being poured out, continually being poured out in your heart. Where your mind is being continually renewed by Holy Spirit. That you are becoming the very compassion of God. When Jesus Christ was moved by compassion, you saw nothing but acts of power, acts of His love in the Gospels. And this is the reality that He wants for you.